For 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Welcome, listeners, to the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro. We both try to bring you a wide variety of information all about you and your health. The show is streamlined through MyVillageGreen.com. That's MyVillageGreen.com. Now, you can visit the Village Green site or the store on Cedar Lane, and you get expert advice on supplements, on health products in both places. So Village Green is your resource for questions about your health. They do carry a superior line of supplements from many manufacturers. Please do take a look at Village Green's own Pathway products. This is a reminder that we're here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and you can tune in next Sunday for Kevin's discussion with Dr. Lee Crowden on Lyme disease and some of the natural treatments. Now, we're going to be talking today with our guest, Robin O'Brien, and she's the author of the book, The Unhealthy Truth, How Our Food is Making Us Sick and What We Can Do About It. She is just a Texas mom, but she has an MBA, and she was an analyst with the food industry, or on the food industry, and she started to discover a lot of these unhealthy truths. So she's sharing that with us. And she's got a lot of support, Dr. Oz, Aaron Brockovich, and a lot of press on this. It's an excellent, excellent book, and she is going to give you a lot of information. What I thought we would do is start with a little bit of a preamble on what's going on with our foods. I think we all know that the diet is vastly different today than it used to be. We have a lot of man-made chemicals, over 84,000 in the environment. We have over 4,000 food additives. Not all of those food additives are unsafe, but the testing is simply not done. And the kind of testing where you look at substance A with substance B and substance A and B with C and D and on all the way, they do not do it. It's impossible to do it. And so we really don't know what kind of synergisms there are with all of these artificial additives. The paradigm is starting to shift in the traditional sector. Organic, the interest in organic foods are increasing, and consumers vote with their dollars. Yes, it's more expensive, but it's also reducing your health risks and health costs. So it really is very cost effective. Let's talk about some of the issues. The fluoride issue is very interesting. The National Academy of Sciences issued a report on the fluoridated water safety, and their concerns were increased bone cancer in adolescent males, reduced IQ in children, and neurodevelopmental effects. So about 3 or 4 years ago, they came out with a recommendation that fluoride be avoided in infants up to 2 years. Now, I don't know why magically at 2 years we can tolerate a toxin that can lower the IQ and increase the risk for cancers. But we have some news and an update. Very interesting. And you can go on the Environmental Working Group to get this information. The Daily Green, the EPA will ban fluoride pesticide just days after the U.S. health officials moved to reduce the level of fluoride in U.S. drinking water, the Environmental Protection Agency is moving to ban the use of fluoride-based pesticides because the fluoride in the pesticide residue on food could be contributing to the overexposure of children, according to the Environmental Working Group. So go on EWG.org, EWG.org, and get the information. Now, many people say, well, fluoride's necessary for preventing tooth decay, and I'm a dental hygienist, and when I learned the dangers of fluoride in my training, I refused to give fluoride treatments to young children because there were reports of deaths from children eating fluoride toothpaste, using fluoride rinses and swallowing it, and then getting fluoride treatments. And that frightened me that we would consider using these treatments on children. There are some safer ways to do the topical fluoride treatments called varnishing. It's a way that does not expose the child to so much fluoride. But we really need to look at this. What the National Academy of Sciences found, besides an increase in mental retardation, lower IQ, and developmental issues, they also found effects on hormones and a negative effect on bones. It makes bones brittle. And at one time, fluoride was recommended as a treatment for osteoporosis. That is no longer the case. So what we've found is that most of the fluoride that is used in water supplies, in about 96% of the water supplies, that fluoride has not been tested for safety. So we're seeing that the EPA is starting to do something about it. It's a little bit too late, but at least they're starting to do something about it. Now, the American Academy of Pediatrics has done a real reversal, and I really enjoy looking at this because I've been following these issues for about 40 years. And what the Academy of Pediatrics has now done is reversed their previous stand on the effects of preservatives and food coloring artificial additives on children's behavior. They have done a 180. And in the editorial, they say the overall findings of the study are clear and require that even we as skeptics who have long doubted parental claims of the effects of various foods on the behavior of their children admit we might have been wrong. So the American Academy of Pediatrics now recognizes that artificial additives common in children's foods increase hyperactivity, attention deficit, and developmental delays. The Academy directs pediatricians to support nutritional treatments in autism, including dietary interventions and supplementation, another reversal of their previous recommendations. And they actually joined efforts with the Autism Research Institute in 2008 toward preventing and treating autism spectrum disorders in what is called the biomedical approach. The FDA, some other changes, acknowledges that mercury fillings, amalgams, are neurotoxic to fetuses and developing children. And the CDC ultimately acknowledged that it had no basis for the statement that vaccines have no connection to autism, speech delays, and tics. And I'm quoting here, Julie Geberding, the data was weak, not useful, uninformative, and misleading. So what we're finding out is that those that have pledged to protect our food, our water supply, and keep us safe have not necessarily been doing the best job, and that the industry tends to win out here. Let's look at the EWG's Environmental Working Group's Guide to Safe Drinking Water. Tap water, learn what's in it. Water suppliers publish their water quality, and you can go at EWG.org and get this information. Filtered tap water, drink it and cook with it, and choose a filter that's certified to remove contaminants found in the water. Again, EWG.org has that list. Carbon filters, either the pitchers or the ones that are tap mounted, They're very affordable, and they reduce many common water contaminants like lead and byproducts of the disinfection process used to treat municipal tap water. So that is, anything you do is better than nothing. And install a reverse osmosis filter if you can to remove contaminants. This is the best. Carbon filters can't eliminate everything, especially arsenic and rocket fuel called perchlorate, which is in the water. Change your filters. Change them more frequently than they need to. Otherwise, you're pushing the water through a filter that might have maxed out on bacteria and contaminants. Bottled water, you're better off drinking tap water instead, filtered tap water. And don't reuse your bottle containers. The hard plastic bottles, number 7, can lead to harmful plastic chemicals called bisphenol A getting into the water. And most people know BPA should be avoided. But you really should avoid all the plastics. Try using water bottles that are made of glass, just the old-fashioned glass, stainless steel bottles that say BPA-free. But I am telling people just stay away from the plastics. And while pregnant, stay hydrated with safe water. For infants, use safe water for the formula. This is very important, the safest, cleanest, and make sure it does not have fluoride in it. Now, before, up until about 3 years ago, pediatricians said, use these fluoride drops, especially if you've got well water or you're not using tap water. That's not true anymore. You want to use a water that has no fluoride in it for infant formulas. Breathe easy. Use a whole house water filter. For extra protection, a whole house carbon filter will remove contaminants from steamy vapors you and your family inhale while showering and washing dishes. So we've given you some information. This is just a start. We will be talking with Robin O'Brien, and we're going to talk about the unhealthy truth, how our food is making us sick, and what we can do about it. This is Dana Lake with the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, and we're brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after this break with an interesting discussion on our unhealthy food.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Mega Food, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCT. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body, and this is where Gero Formula's Neuro Optimizer comes to the rescue. Neuro Optimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. Neuro Optimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. Neuro Optimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Jarrow Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back to the second segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. This show is brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary, located at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro, trying to bring you a wide variety of information all about you and your health. Just a reminder that we are here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and you can tune in next Sunday for Kevin's discussion with Dr. Lee Crowden on Lyme disease. They will discuss some of the complementary natural treatments. Now, we have a wonderful guest. I gave you a heads up in the first segment, Robin O'Brien, and the topic is her book, The Unhealthy Truth, How Our Food is Making Us Sick and What We Can Do About It. Welcome to the show, Robin.
Thanks so much for having me on.
And you have an MBA, and I notice in your lectures that you talk about business, and you took a business approach to this, and you found out what's going wrong with our food. So give us some background on yourself, and then let's dive into some very important information our listeners, I think, will find helpful.
Well, I'm such an unlikely person to even be speaking about this. I was born and raised in Houston, Texas, and I packed my fair share of Doritos and Ding Dongs in my lunchbox. I wasn't a foodie. I went on, like you mentioned, I got an MBA and went on to work as an analyst covering the food industry for an investment team. And, you know, we'd meet these management teams from places like Whole Foods, and they'd come through the offices, and they'd order their veggie subs, and you know, we weren't really that sensitive to it. We just kind of looked at it as this is a business model. And in all candor, I thought, you know, this healthy eating thing, this is either some fringy thing or some lifestyle, the rich and famous issue. It just didn't really seem to relate to busy families. And then we had, 4 children, and I traded my briefcase for a diaper bag. And as, you know, we got into the throes of that early childhood, I mean, like any mom, I was busy trying to just feed picky kids, with a limited budget and limited time, and I didn't want anybody telling me what to eat my kids. And then one morning over breakfast, life just totally changed, and we had our youngest child had an allergic reaction, which breakfast that morning was Lego Mayego waffles and tubes of blue yogurt and scrambled eggs. And so when she had that reaction that morning, I was so unfamiliar with what food allergy actually looked like that I turned to the older three and I just said, you know, what did you put in her face? And they gave me these blank little kid stares. And so as I raced her to the doctor's office, and the doctor starts saying, you know, this looks like an allergic reaction, and she starts rattling all these statistics off about food allergies and peanuts and eggs and wheat and dairy, and I just thought, you know, since when has food become so toxic to our children? Because I don't know about you or any of your listeners out there, but I certainly didn't know anybody that had a food allergy when we were kids. And as I began to really dig into the data and use this kind of MBA analytical, you know, skill set that I had developed prior to motherhood, it was absolutely jaw-dropping to learn what was happening to the American kids.
Well, I appreciate your introduction, and I think a lot of people can sympathize and empathize with what you went through. So it motivated you, and your book is quite an education. You have a nice statement from Aaron Brockovich on it, which is very appropriate. I'm delighted with that. Tell us, what is wrong with our food and why it's making us sick?
You know, I think you kind of got to go even above the food and say, you know, we in this country, we have a system in place that is very much driven towards profitability. And so whether you're talking about the banking system or the food system, what ends up happening is that a lot of the regulations are written in favor of the corporations. And so what's happened with the food supply really is sort of what we're seeing as a system failure. And we've already seen it happen with the banks. We deregulated the banking system and we got a whole bunch of toxic assets. We deregulated the food system and the same thing is happening. And so what's been done here in the U.S. is that, you know, we go to the cheapest common denominator. So we're going to try to create the food in the cheapest way possible because that's in the best interest of shareholders and that drives profitability for the food industry. In other countries, they say, you know, we don't necessarily want to go to that cheapest common denominator because that has not yet been proven safe. And so, you know, they'll use substances like real sugar rather than high fructose corn syrup as a sweetener because even though that sugar is slightly more expensive for that cost of production, it's been used for generations and generations, whereas high fructose corn syrup is a substance that's only been really introduced in the last 40 years. And so as we began to introduce these new ingredients into the food supply, they're artificial substances. They are genetically engineered in laboratories. They are synthetically derived. They don't occur naturally in nature. They have only just recently been introduced into our food supply. And the way that we know that these things are different is because they've actually been patented by the food company, by the chemical companies, and they create enormous value in those patents because of the unique attributes of these, you know, new chemically engineered, genetically engineered products. And so, you know, we can look back over the last 20 years, and I think probably for me one of the most stunning examples of this was the introduction of genetically engineered foods. We began introducing these things into our food supply in the 1990s. I certainly didn't know that. There were no labels on food telling me that these genetically engineered products and proteins and organisms were suddenly in our food. But in 1994, to drive profitability for the dairy industry, we began to engineer a new synthetic growth hormone, and we injected our cattle with this growth hormone to help them make more milk. Again, the analyst to me, that made perfect sense. But at the same time, it was making these cows really sick. It was causing ovarian cysts, mastitis, all kinds of skin disease. And so because of that, it was resulting in this increased antibiotic use and pharmaceutical use in the animals. And so countries around the world, from Canada, the UK, all 27 countries in Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, they said, this is making the cows really sick. It's resulting in all this pharmaceutical use in these animals. We don't want to allow this into our food supply because it hasn't yet been proven safe. We don't know what the long-term effects might be on animals. We don't know, we don't have any studies on what the long-term effects might be on humans. So we're not going to introduce this into our dairy. And yet here in the U.S., we did. In 1994, we introduced this artificial growth hormone and all the pharmaceutical drugs that came along with its use into our dairy supply. And as countries around the world watched, you know, not only were they concerned about the health effects for the cows, but as studies continued to come out around the use of this artificial growth hormone that linked it to elevated hormone levels that were linked to breast, prostate, and colon cancer, again, countries around the world said, we're not going to allow this into the food supply. And yet here in the U.S., we did.
You know, it's amazing that we have been so sloppy in this. And you mentioned that other countries, especially in Europe, appreciate natural foods. And there was an interesting article not long ago about the school lunch for the French children. They are served a cooked meal. They have tablecloths, napkins, silverware, and they're expected to sit at that table with proper manners. And the menu is sent home to the parents with recipes and suggestions for an evening meal. And even if the budget gets tight in France, there's no discussion regarding cutting back on their school lunch. It's such a difference from what we see in this country.
You know, and again, you got to step back and you got to say, as a national family sitting down to our national dinner table with our national budget that we all contribute to as taxpayers, is this how we want to be allocating our resources? And as I really got into it, I realized, you know, we allocate very, very little of our national resources to the FDA. And so then they have to rely on the industry to fund all these studies. And so we don't have any independent studies or very few. We have a lot of industry-funded data. And, of course, if industry is bringing a product to market, they're going to want data that supports it and says that it's safe. We also, you know, we don't have a lot of funding that goes into our national school lunch program. And so, you know, really as a national family sitting down to our national dinner table, how do we want to be spending our national budget? And I think, you know, you can look at the fact that while the children only represent 30% of the population, they're 100% of our future. And right now they've already got the nickname of Generation RX because they are so medicated. One in three has autism, allergies, ADHD, or asthma. One in three Caucasian kids and one in two minority children are expected to be insulin dependent by the time they reach adulthood. And according to the Centers for Disease Control, cancer is the leading cause of death by disease in kids under the age of 15. We've got a sick generation of children, and while that may be profitable for the pharmaceutical industry right now, you've got to step back and say, what is this going to do to the future productivity of our country? And when you realize that the U.S. spends more on healthcare and managing disease than any other country in the world, you realize that really we can start to take these preventative measures and make these simple changes in the grocery store so that we can begin to manage our health there rather than in the doctor's office.
Well, you've said this very clearly, and with regard to the children, the New England Journal of Medicine in 2005 had said that for the first time in two centuries, the current generation of children in the U.S. have shorter life expectancies than their parents, and it's primarily due to the rapid rise in childhood obesity, which leads to diabetes, heart disease, kidney failure, and cancer. But it's also due to all of these chronic conditions occurring in the under 20 crowd.
Absolutely, you know, and I mean, I think the other nickname that these kids are getting, unfortunately, is Generation XL. And when you look at the fact that, you know, obesity and the problems that are linked there, whether it's diabetes, whether it's heart disease, whether it's cancer down the road, again, these are leading indicators. And the kids only represent 30% of the population, but they are 100% of our future. And so, you know, you step back and you say, how can we invest in our future in a smarter, better, more efficient way? And I think, you know, to really say, our children deserve the best start that they can get. You know, we deserve to have these same products on our grocery store shelves that are already being sold in other countries. Our big food manufacturers, they formulate their products differently for eaters in other countries. And so the products they sell overseas don't contain these artificial growth hormones. They don't contain artificial colors. They don't contain genetically engineered proteins that were introduced in the 1990s. Because those standards are higher in other countries. These countries are saying, we don't want to introduce this risk into our food supply. There are no long-term human studies. We don't know if it's safe. And what's remarkable to me, and it sort of hit like a bowling ball in the gut initially with it, our corporations responded overseas. They formulated the products differently. And that's where I think, you know, you, the work that you're doing, the listeners, everybody out there, we have this enormous opportunity to inspire this change here in the United States by teaching each other so that we can create the change. We can get these same products on our grocery store shelves that these food manufacturers are already formulating for eaters in other countries.
Well, this is, you know, it's phenomenal what you've done, and I like that you've pulled it all together in the book. I also like the figures you've been giving us, and we have over 4,000 food additives, most grandfathered in, and 85,000 environmental man-made chemicals. Only 200 have even been evaluated, and the EPA really can't do much about them. They have to go to Congress even to get asbestos banned. So all of this is getting into the food supply and, of course, into our bodies, and now we can measure it. And I think that's why we're able to see what's actually happening. It was invisible before, but now we can measure. What we're going to do, Robin, is talk more about this. You've got a lot of interesting information for our listeners. And for those of you who have just tuned in, you're with the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, and we are brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. I want you to stay with us. We will be right back after the break with more information from Robin O'Brien.
Whether you're an active baby boomer, a weekend warrior, or a professional athlete, Boron's Arnicare Gel is the perfect solution to all life's little injuries. Arnicare, which contains the healing benefits of homeopathic Arnica Montana, can be used safely to treat muscle pain, stiffness, swelling, and bruising due to minor injuries, overexertion, and surgery. The non-greasy gel has no artificial colors, perfumes, or parabens. Arnicare is also available in cream and ointment formulas. You can find Arnicare at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Visit Arnicare on the web at arnicare.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. They are the only raw multivitamin to include live enzymes and probiotics, amino acids, and antioxidants. They are gluten and dairy free with no soy allergens. Vitamin Code is uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, and binder free. Vitamin Code Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Get the one tiny pearl that delivers big acidophilus, 900% more. Get acidophilus pearls from Enzymatic Therapy. Each little pearl-shaped capsule makes a big impact, delivering up to 900% more live probiotics to the intestine than other products. This revolutionary product aids digestion, supports a healthy immune system, and is perfect for travelers who want to enhance intestinal health. This season, make sure to take the pearls that give you big acidophilus. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back to the third segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Passaro, and we try to bring you a wide variety of good information all about you and your health. We are here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and you can tune in next Sunday for Kevin's discussion with Dr. Lee Crowden on Lyme disease and some of the natural treatments. We have been discussing a very interesting topic, the unhealthy truth, how our food is making us sick and what we can do about it. We've been talking with the author, Robin O'Brien, and I wanted to give you her website. It's R-O-B-Y-N. O-B-R-I-E-N, RobinO'Brien.com. You can go on the site, and she's got some schedules there for when she will be speaking and presenting. Now, we talked about the changes and that we in this country allow a lot more chemicals, a lot more altered foods than many other countries in the world. We're really way behind in this issue. Some people in the past thought we were way ahead with better living through chemistry, but we're really paying for it in the health of our children and adults. Let's talk more about the genetically engineered food and whether or not they intend to regulate.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not sure about your listeners, but I had no idea that we had even introduced this new technology into the food supply. It was introduced in the 1990s to drive profitability for the soy, the corn industry, and the cotton industry. And basically what was happened was this new operating system was introduced into our food supply. And these crops were genetically engineered. Their DNA was modified and manipulated. New proteins were inserted that enabled these crops to either withstand increasing doses of toxic weed killers or to actually create their own insecticides internally in their own DNA, in their own cells, so that as these plants grow, they can release their own insecticide. And that, you know, that's a pretty novel change in food production. And it was so novel that the agrochemical corporations that were introducing these changes into these crops were able to patent them and drive profitability for their shareholders. At the same time, as corn was engineered to contain this new insecticidal protein, for example, corn then became regulated by the EPA as an insecticide. So as you can imagine, most people, once they were made aware of this, thought, we really want to be careful. We want to exercise precaution. We either don't want to allow this into our food supply, or we want to have labeling so that we can make an informed choice. And that's what most developed countries did. They either didn't allow it because no human studies had been done to prove that it was safe or that it wouldn't have any long-term effects like an increase in allergies or any of the toxicity studies that were conducted on animals. And so they either didn't allow it or they required labeling. But here in the U.S., we took a different approach. Our approach is this has not yet been proven dangerous, so we'll allow it into the food supply until there's scientific evidence that might prove otherwise. And so it's now in the hands of industry because in order to conduct the scientific evidence that might prove otherwise, you have to apply for permission to study that patent, which they claim is, you know, proprietary information and that they would be at a competitive disadvantage to disclose that information. And so, you know, these were just enormous changes that happened in the U.S. food supply in the 1990s. It absolutely, you know, the argument is that it does help grow more food, that it increases profitability. But what we're actually seeing now, 15, 16 years in, is that the only sure thing that it creates is an increased demand for a lot of these toxins, these weed killers, these herbicides, these pesticides. And so it's driven a lot of profitability for the adoption of these chemicals that are, you know, bought by the farmers and applied to these crops. But a lot of the promises initially 15 years ago with these products has not actually come to bear.
Yeah, it's really a shame. I think most people find it shocking. I know I did when just about 3 years ago, I realized that the manufacturers of chemicals are not required to test their products, and they don't have to show safety data. They can also keep them secret if they're not going to reveal the names. So 17,000 of our 84,000 man-made chemicals are kept secret. It takes an act of Congress to even get these studies done. If they do the studies, they have to reveal the information. So you can understand that the companies just choose not to study what they're introducing. And they're in products, most of the products that children use.
Well, you know, and again, I don't think it was anything that was, or at least I hope it wasn't something that was maliciously intended early on, but, you know, back in the 1970s when people first began to be aware that we do have all of these chemicals and they may be compromising our health, there was a law passed that basically grandfathered in about 80,000 chemicals, which meant that only a few hundred of the chemicals that are in use today have ever actually been tested for safety. And so, you know, what we're realizing now is that, you know, we've got this toxic soup, whether we're talking about the food or the plastics or the water, we realize that there are a lot of chemicals in use today that simply didn't exist 40 years ago, 50 years ago. And not only have we not conducted studies on any of those in isolation, but we also don't know what the compound effect of it might be. And so, you know, if you think back to those science classes we all took as kids where you're holding two beakers and they're totally fine, the elements in their own individual beaker, but then when you pour them together, it all starts to, you know, fume and smoke and combust. Those studies have never been conducted. On top of that, the studies that have been conducted do an assessment for what the impact of those chemicals might be on a certain aged man, and not what the impact might be on a 30-pound little girl or a 45-pound little boy.
Or a fetus.
Or a fetus. And so, you know, when you step back and you say, the doctors refer it as what's called synergistic toxicity, mm-hmm. where you have this combination of all of these toxins and the compound effect of all of those toxins on a developing baby or, you know, on a nursing mom or on a 4-year-old little boy. And we simply don't know. And so, that is the system that we have inherited today, but it doesn't mean that we all have to simply sit back and accept it and wait for, you know, as the American Cancer Society reports, 1 in 2 men are expected to get cancer, 1 in 3 women are expected to get cancer. Because while 1 in 8 women does have breast cancer, only 1 in 10 of those cases are genetic, which means 9 out of 10 of them are environmentally triggered. And once you learn that information and you realize that we really haven't implemented a very good testing system for a lot of these ingredients, for a lot of these chemicals, then you can say, you know what, this is the system we all live in, but there's so much that I can do to protect my family now that I know. And I think to focus on that part of it, because it is heavy information, it was incredibly hard to learn. I did not want to learn this. But once I learned it and realized that truly this is a blessing, this is a gift, and that this knowledge can absolutely inspire remarkable change in the health of a family. And that once you realize that it's a gift, you do want to share it with others, that they can protect the people that they love. And so, you know, as you begin to learn by simply making small changes, none of us can do everything, but all of us can do something. And as you start to pick maybe one thing that you want to change in your family's diet or one thing that you want to do to help exercise precaution, those changes feel really good. And as you begin to integrate them, you most likely are going to want to do more.
Well, let's talk about some of the changes, and we'll do more of that discussion in the final segment. But let's get started with a few tidbits of information for our listeners.
Well, you know, for us, I mean, it was pretty overwhelming because in all candor, like I said, I was slinging tubes of blue yogurt. We were nuking nuggets. It was mac and cheese that was fluorescent orange. And as I stood in my kitchen that first day and looking at everything in my kitchen cupboard and realizing that we had artificial dyes in almost everything and that those artificial dyes had been removed by the American corporations that were selling their products overseas because of their link to hyperactivity, that was one of the first things I wanted to do is just cut out these artificial colors. And so we took that very first step and, you know, instead of the blue yogurt, we went to white yogurt with sprinkles. And it wasn't perfect, but it did a lot for reducing our kids' exposure to that heavy load of artificial colors. We initially, that fluorescent orange mac and cheese, instead of using the whole packet of powdered cheese, I used half the pack. And we began to wean the kids off of the fluorescent color of those noodles until they finally miraculously had the day where they ate noodles the color of noodles. Another really important thing was to get that artificial growth hormone, which is known as RBGH, out of the kids' dairy. I felt very strongly that since it was never accepted for use in Canada, the UK, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, and all 27 countries in Europe, that I certainly didn't want it in my kids' dairy anymore. And so we looked for milk that was labeled either RBGH-free or organic, because what I learned is that by law, foods that are produced organically, which means by law they're not allowed to use these synthetic growth hormones, they're not allowed to inject their animals with all these antibiotics, and that they're not allowed to use all of these toxic weed killers and insecticidal proteins. I thought, you know, I'd always viewed that organic symbol as something as lifestyle, the rich and famous, but all of a sudden I realized that this was a real investment in healthcare. And so, you know, we looked for milk that was organic or RBGH-free, and we realized that there were a lot of little baby steps that you could take that could begin to create this change.
You know, these are basics, and the shortcut to it is really go organic. We can certainly teach people to recognize the different additives, and I think that's important. Environmental Working Group is excellent at providing that information. But if you can't pronounce it and it isn't a food, then you shouldn't be eating it. And when you look at the labels, it seems to me that the more detailed a label is, with long lists of chemical terms and very few with foods, that's not a food. That you want wholesome foods.
Well, and you know what's really interesting is that, you know, as I really got into this, and I'm not a scientist, so I had to go to a lot of scientific experts, and now they now advise me with Allergy Kids Foundation. There were advisors in the book, the foreword of the book is written by this amazing MD. And really, you know, what I came to learn is that not all calories are created equal, and some are empty. They don't contain nutrients. They don't contain vitamins and minerals. Sure, they've got sugar and fat and protein, but they don't contain the nutrition. And that other calories are nutrient dense, which means they're just packed full of vitamins and minerals and nutrition. And so as we really tried to focus on eating a more nutrient dense diet instead of these empty calories, what was amazing is that, you know, not only does that do a lot in terms of health, because you're giving your body the working blocks and the tools that it needs to create a healthy, strong system, but it also satisfies you more because you're actually nutritionally full. And you're not just starving for nutrients and vitamins and minerals. And it was a pretty amazing shift. And, you know, as we began to do that, I thought, wow, our first step might simply be to just eat less fake food. And as we began to eat more real food, it was interesting to see how that affected us on a lot of different levels.
Makes such a difference. We talk a lot on this show about the effect of artificial sweeteners on weight gain, that you gain more weight on the artificial sweeteners, whether you're a rat, and that's a group they've studied, or whether you're a human. It tricks the regulation in the brain of intake, and so the brain doesn't see that as a utilizable sugar, and it just sets you up for overeating. Interesting picture of the fat rats consuming a diet with sugar, same diet with the artificial sweetener. The ones on artificial sweetener are so heavy they can't walk. Their bellies drag on the ground. So we're going to talk more about this in the final segment and give our listeners more information. We're listening and talking with Robin O'Brien, and we're talking about the unhealthy truth, how our food is making us sick and what we can do about it. I'm Dana Lake, and this is the Essentials of Healthy Living. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break with more.
Megafood Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Megafood believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Megafood, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Bridging the gap between nutraceuticals and pharmaceuticals. That's the concept behind Zymogen's new exclusive and patented line of formulations, which utilize sophisticated delivery technologies to focus on specific molecular targets. The Zymogen EP line features Immunitix 3-6, a potent ingredient that has demonstrated a measurable ability to prime and enhance immune cell function. Applications include immune system support and support for white blood cell recovery following radiation therapy and other bone marrow affecting treatments. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
For over 10 years, Nordic Naturals has been the world leader in crafting omega-3 fish oils that are great for the body and for the planet. They work one-on-one with researchers and select fishermen to harvest only those fish species that are flourishing. With Nordic Naturals, you get all the benefits of omega-3, a strong heart, clear eyes, and flexible joints, plus the reassurance that their products are environmentally friendly. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
Did you get enough lutein today to support eye health? Most Americans consume only 2 milligrams per day, yet populations with good eye health often consume 6 to 20 milligrams to protect the macula of the eye against oxidative stress and aging. Vision Optimizer from Gero Formulas supplies lutein, zeaxanthin, and 13 other vitamins, phytonutrients, and herbs that support eye health and function, reduce eye fatigue, and promote eye comfort. For more information, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't handle? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula for you, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. We invite you to talk with one of our compounding specialists today. Our team of 50 includes pharmacists, nutritionists, a clinical herbalist, and a naturopath offering customized products and personalized healthy living plans to ensure your well-being. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to today's final segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda. You can also access the site myvillagegreen.com. That's myvillagegreen.com. And I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Passero, and we bring you a lot of good information all about your health. We're here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. You can tune in next Sunday for a discussion on Lyme disease and some of the natural treatments. We've been enjoying a discussion with Robin O'Brien regarding her book and research about the unhealthy truth. Our food is making us sick. How our food is making us sick and what we can do about it. And I wanted to just tell you a little statement that Erin Brockovich gave regarding the book. What she says is, in the absence of the truth, all of us stand helpless to defend ourselves, our families, and our health, which is the greatest gift we have. Robin O'Brien's courageous pursuit of the unhealthy truth is an example of how we can all do our parts to protect the health of our families. Very well said. So, Robin, let's talk more about what people can do to change their diets and make them healthy.
Well, you know, thankfully there is a lot that you can do, and you can follow the lead of companies and countries around the world who are already exercising this level of precaution. They're saying, you know, we don't want to be part of this experiment. We want to opt out. And so, you know, for me, with four small children, limited time, limited budget, picky eaters, the whole thing, I thought, I can't do everything, but I can do one thing. And I decided to focus on the fact that this was going to be about progress, not perfection. And so as I stood there that day looking in the kitchen and literally everything was processed, everything was fake, you know, had all these artificial ingredients, artificial dyes, artificial growth hormones, I thought, I'm going to pick one thing and do one thing. And we decided we were going to try to do one thing a month. And it's a great time to start. So start of the school year, pick one thing a month. For me, the very first thing was to try to get that genetically engineered growth hormone out of the kids' dairy. I realized that what we had here in the U.S. was basically dirty dairy. It was full of growth hormones, antibiotics, pharmaceutical drugs. You know, they were feeding the cows these crops that hadn't even been approved for use in other countries. And I just decided I didn't want that in the fridge. And so we looked for milk that was organic or RBGH-free. Another thing that we decided to opt out of was this high fructose corn syrup. One of the concerns is that, you know, while it makes a lot of sense, it's a really cheap sweetener. It's also put into products here in the U.S. because it helps preserve the shelf life. So, you know, a thing of mustard or bread, it can last longer on a grocery store shelves because of the fact that high fructose corn syrup is a preservative. Again, countries around the world said, we don't want that preservative in our food supply. We don't know if it's been blended with this genetically engineered corn that produces its own insecticides. We simply don't want it. So, again, you know, our corporations did a great job meeting demand overseas, and they pulled the high fructose corn syrup from their products. So when I learned that, I thought, I don't want high fructose corn syrup in our family's diet if we can avoid it. And so we tried to avoid it. And thankfully now, you know, Heinz, a lot of these ketchup makers, all of them are starting to realize that consumers are really shifting away from high fructose corn syrup. So that was another step we took. Another one was really to opt out of this, you know, experiment that we've all been entered into by the agrochemical corporations who are engineering these insecticidal proteins. They're engineering their crops to withstand increasing doses of weed killer. And I just thought, you know, as all of this scientific evidence continues to mount of the role that these pesticides play in things like type 2 diabetes, the role that they play in hyperactivity in children, I really want to try to reduce my family's exposure to these pesticides and these crops that have been engineered to withstand increasing doses of them. And so with that, we began to opt out of the genetically engineered products, and we looked for products that were labeled either non-GMO or organic, again, because by law, organic products are not allowed to contain these things. And as I got into that, you know, I got to admit, I kind of got annoyed because I thought, organic food is so expensive. Why is it so expensive? Why do I have to work this hard and pay this much to feed my family food that does not contain these chemicals? And that's when I realized that, again, as a national family with our national budget, we don't support the growing of these crops. Our national resources, our taxpayer dollars, are used to support the growing of crops with all these chemicals, with this operating system that is absolutely full of chemicals. And yet at the same time, the crops that are grown organically, which means without the use of all these chemicals, those farmers are charged fees. They're charged fees to prove that their stuff is safe. They're charged fees to label it. They don't get crop insurance assistance the same way. They don't get marketing assistance. And so their whole cost of production is higher. And as I learned that, I thought, you know, this is more than changing the way we shop in grocery stores. This is educating each other. It's reaching out to our local representatives and educating them. And as intimidating as that was at first for me, I did not want to get involved in that on any level. When I did reach out to these local politicians, I realized that they've got sisters with breast cancer, they've got kids with autism, grandkids with diabetes, and they're just as concerned as all of us are. And I think we share this common concern because these costs of managing these diseases are truly weighing not only on our families, they're weighing on our corporations, and they're weighing on our economy. And when you learn that, according to the New York Times, a company like Starbucks spends more on healthcare costs than they do on coffee, you realize that, you know, our global competitiveness as a country might be at stake because we're having to spend so much of our money and our resources managing these diseases. And so, again, it really speaks to how collectively we really can create this change. It does start at home, but that the information is a gift, and you can share it with people that you love. You can share it with coworkers. You can share it with the team that's the head of HR and the personnel team at work, and they can begin to inspire this dialogue and this wellness, healthy change dialogue in your company, and that, you know, we eventually can create this change that we want to see, not only in the health of our families, but also in the health of our food system and the health of our country.
Well, you have said this so eloquently, and we really have to get to the legislature. But the problem is the food industry and the chemical industry spends a lot of money and has lobbyists. And I realized that we just don't have a large enough lobby. One of the things I do is I have a monthly automatic payment to Environmental Working Group. And that's the group that really is the watchdog for the consumer. And they've done an exceptional job of not only giving us information, but working in the legislature on our behalf. And it's a shame that we as the individuals have to have, you know, work for what should automatically be there, a safe food supply. And we just have not had that. So I encourage people to go to EWG.com. And take a look at the Environmental Working Group. The other thing I notice the industry does is with high fructose corn syrup, they're realizing now everybody's on the alert to avoid it. They did a huge ad campaign with pediatricians. It hasn't worked. So now they're requesting approval to change the name to simply corn syrup. And for deceptive purposes, not for informative purposes. So we've got a lot.
What's fascinating, though, again, is that, you know, they're trying to, you know, they realize it's marketing. They realize that the brand has gotten a bad reputation. So they're trying to reinvent the brand. You see it all the time.
Yes.
You know, you see car companies do it. You see soda companies do it. They're trying to reinvent the brand. And so they're trying to say this is corn sugar. What is fascinating on that one is that the sugar industry actually has come out with a lawsuit saying, you know what, that's actually false and misleading because sugar is sugar. And high fructose corn syrup is not corn sugar. And so they try to encroach on the sugar industry's success, the sugar industry is not going to take it sitting down.
Yeah, it's interesting. 40 years ago, the first avoid on my list was sugar. It's now under all of the artificial additives, sweeteners, fake foods, hydrogenated oils, fried foods, etc., all of the artificial ingredients, because that's what we need to get rid of, then cut back on our sugars. But sugar is better. And it's interesting to have switched to telling people, use honey, use real maple syrup, use a little bit of sugar instead of all of the artificial sweeteners.
Yeah, again, it's so important to focus on not making the perfect the enemy of the good, and to do what you can, where you are, with what you have, because that is how these little changes add up.
They certainly do. Robin, do you have a few pieces of information to leave our listeners with so that they can do something right away? You've given us a wonderful list about
absolutely.
The
I think
awards.
The most important thing that anybody can do before they start to create this change is find a friend, because it is so much more fun to go through this change with someone standing beside you, because food is a loaded issue. I mean, it's food is love, food is family, food is economics, and it's a very loaded issue. And so there will be people that aren't going to want to hear it, that may want to roll their eyes or may dismiss it as some, you know, hippie thing or lifestyle of the rich and famous. But when you have a friend that you can make these changes with, that you can go on this journey with, you realize that you're way stronger than you ever knew, and you're way tougher than you realized. And that as you begin to navigate these changes, you can have so much fun if you have a friend with whom you can do it.
That's excellent advice. Well, thank you, Robin, for joining us on the show. We appreciate it, and we hope you'll come back.
Thanks so much for your great work.
Oh, thank you. And again, the Environmental Working Group is a good contact. And take a look at Robin's book, The Unhealthy Truth: How Our Food is Making Us Sick and What We Can Do About It. And you can make changes. You are what you eat. And when you start looking at the chemicals, they don't even belong on your skin. They certainly don't belong in your body. So check the book out and the Environmental Working Group as well. And I want to thank you, listeners, for joining us on the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. You can access this show or any of the previous shows through MyVillageGreen.com. Please remember, it's not the number of breaths you take, it's the moments that take your breath away. This is Dana Lake and Village Green wishing each and every one of you good health, and a breathtaking day.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.